everybody. But, you know, here were some of the things that we've all kind of grown up with, you know, as we've got older and you look back and you go, yeah, right. Here's some of the dumb things that parents used to say to the kids. Here's number one. Do you want a spanking? Oh, yeah, I'm all over that one. Yeah, could I be first in line? Or when we're pouting, mom and dad used to go, you know, your face is going to get stuck like that. And you're like, no, it's not. Or this is a great one. What's saying that? They've learned it from me. And then you know that you're really in trouble when the parents go, well, when I was your age, you know, and you're like, oh, please, please, don't even start that one. And Dust, my son, used to do this one all the time. We would go someplace, and we would go, well, money doesn't grow on trees. He said, but you got a credit card. Like, no, that doesn't work. The other one is, would you really like something to cry about? That ranks real close to, yeah, I'm front. I want the first one to get spanked, so I have something to cry. Now, as a dad, I'm going like, when do I have to get involved in this? That's between you and mama. And, you know, we've heard this from our folks. Well, here's a mama's. Oh, mom, please let me have the dog. I promise you that I'll take care of it. Or, well, the school didn't send out progress reports, mom. Or, if you just let me go this time, I promise I'll never, never, never ask you again. You've heard that one. Or, he started it. Or, I think I'm just too sick to go to school today, mom. Or, dad said I could, you wouldn't believe it, the traffic was awful getting home. That's why I was late. Yeah. Okay, but here are the really, really good ones. I love this one. A mother would say to her teenager, now I know how come animals eat their young. And my mom used to say this all the time, and it never really made any sense, but it does now. I'm warning you, last time, but if you fall out of that tree and break both of your legs, don't come running to me. That's a guarantee. Mom, how did the human race appear? The mother answered, God made Adam and Eve. They had children, and so was all mankind made. 2 days later, the girl asked, that you told me the human race was created by God. Dad said that they developed from monkeys, and the mother said, well, dear, it's very simple. I told you my side of the family. Your father told her his side of the family. And this is good. If your kids are giving you a headache, follow the directions on the aspirin bottle. Keep away from children. And people who say they sleep like a baby, they ain't got no baby. Amen, amen. And I love this. This is the best one of all. The children talk. And now you have spent the last 16 years of me telling me to sit down and shut up. I'm confused. So, amen. Well, with that said, mothers, happy Mother's Day. We love you guys. It's so awesome to be. You know, today is a great day. It's a sad day for some. It's a good day for others. You know, if you're a stepmom, you are just as important to the kids as real moms. Some have lost moms. I've lost my mom. I miss her. You know, we were like oil and water, but she's home with the Lord today. If you got a mom, cherish her today. If you haven't called your mom, call her today. Make the most out of today's, because what you do today will greatly affect what your children will do tomorrow. Now, I kind of laugh at this. Almost every Mother's Day, some pastor wants to pull up Proverbs 31 and talk about the noble characters of a woman, to which none of y'all fit, okay? And y'all hate it. You don't like, I don't want to hear that because that's not me. Well, I want you to go home today, and this is going to make you feel better. It was written to a king, and the king's mother was giving him advice. It really wasn't written about you guys at all. So don't read Proverbs 31 and go, golly gee, I fall so short. Well, yes, you do. But it wasn't about you. It's just some qualities that mom said. If you're going to go out and look for a wife, try to find a wife like this. Because the scripture's real clear. It talks about being equally yoked. So mom, but you know, God didn't ask you to be perfect. All God wants moms to do today is be obedient. And now, and we're going to talk about a mother that I bet you that you have never heard before. And I want you to see some qualities about this mother that I hope that you guys can take with you. So it's Exodus 1, 8 through 10, and it says, now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Okay? And then it says, come, let us deal wisely with them, or else they will multiply and against us and depart from the land. So the taskmasters were appointed over them to afflict them with labor. And they built for Pharaoh storage cities. First one is Pithom and the other one is Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and the more they spread out so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. Now, moms, I want you to understand this. This is to come home and love his wife. Because it said, the more work they gave them, the more they multiplied. That's cool. Appreciate it, Pastor. Okay. So, in verse 15, it says, then the kings of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom's name was Shiprah, the other's name was Puah. And he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth, and see them upon the birth stool. Now, the way they gave birth back then was by sitting on a stool. It's different than what women do today. But it says, but if it's a daughter, then they shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded, but let the boys live. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment in those days. If a child was born, and if it was male, there was the Nile River. The Nile River is infested with crocodiles. We're commanded by the king, take that infant and throw the infant in the water. And then that it was. But what is important is that the midwives feared God. And what's important for every woman in this room today is that you fear God more than you fear man. Now, in Genesis 13, 16, it's a prophetic statement. See, Abraham is told, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if you're a mama today, you have to understand that if God said it, take it to the bank. The world today is trying to paint a different picture. But God's word is the same today as it was yesterday, and it will be tomorrow. And the Bible says that God told Abraham, your descendants because no matter what the taskmasters attempted to do, the children of Israel multiplied. Now, that lovely in the sight of God. And he was nurtured 3 months in his father's home. What's important in that passage is that it said that he was lovely in the sight of God. You can look at individuals today, especially when they're children. You can look at their characteristics. You can look at their personality, and you can see something special about that child. Now, I know every mom, and there are some times that you can truly look at a child and go, that child is truly different. And in the book of Acts, it said that Moses was born, but when God looked at him, he saw him in a different light. Hebrews 11, 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. And because they saw that he was a beautiful child, now, not only did God look at Moses, that child, and they said, there's something different about this child. And it says, they were not afraid. Their dads, we shouldn't operate any longer by worldly standards. We need to operate by biblical standards. Mamas and daddies need to get prayer back in school. Mom and daddies need to put God first in everything that we do. They were not afraid. But today, the problem with moms and dads is they're afraid about the repercussions of what might happen. Had to write a paper, and it was about the Lord. And she began to put Jesus in the paper, and she got called in and said, you can't do that. And I'm so proud of my granddaughter because she said, yes, I can. Because you ask us to write the paper. And even when she was in the class, she was picked upon by the teacher. But she stood tall. She came home because she's a child and she cried. And we all need to be in that position in our church that God comes first before anything else. In 20, every son who is born is to be cast into the Nile. Every daughter you are to keep alive. Now, in today's time, this world would take that pretty serious to go, I don't know if we ought to have a child right now, because if it's a boy, we would have to have that child destroyed. But in those days, mom and daddy went, uh-uh, we're going to have children. And no, we're not going to throw our child in the Nile. That won't happen. Well, there's a reason why it didn't happen. Exodus 2, 1 and 2 says, now, and the woman conceived, bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, once again, she sees something about this child. What did she do? She hid the child for 3 months. Now, in verses 3 and 4, but when she could hide him no longer, she got a wicker basket, covered it with tar and pitch. And then she put the child in it, and then his sister, which was Miriam, stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Now, currently, no one came down to bathe in the Nile with her maidens walking alongside. And I thought, I wonder, I mean, this is a river that is full of alligators. And I don't know if the attendants were there to beat them away, to scare them away. I'd be a dirty guy because I ain't getting in the water with no gator, man. I'm just telling you. You know, we'd have to find something else to put on, all right? But she did that daily, and the attendants were there, and it says she saw the basket. Basket among the reeds, she sent the maid. Yeah, you go get it. I'm standing right here on the shore so I can get up. No, you go. No, but anyhow. So when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the boy was crying. She had pity on him, and she said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Now, would you not have thought, if this is Pharaoh's daughter, she sees a Hebrew child, that she would go turn the kid in? Seems reasonable to believe that she might follow different. It said, then his sister, Miriam, Moses' sister, says to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go?" And that says, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called who? The mother of the child. Was that coincidental? Did it just happen that way? Or could somebody be in the midst of what's going on in the midst of this child's life? So Pharaoh's daughter says, "Okay, you take the child and nurse this child, and I'll even pay you to do it." Now, have anything. So now the child is picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. Miriam said, "You want me to find someone to nurse the child?" She said, "Yes." So now Moses' mom is back in the picture, and before she had nothing to take care of the child, and now in the midst of all of this, she's being paid to take care of her own child. Now, here's what's cool. The child, now you think about a 3-month child. They're going to cry and whine and make a lot of noise. But for 3 months, she took him, her son. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, how bad is that? Well, she named him Moses because the name means because I drew him out of the water. Now here, mamas, what you do today will greatly affect what your children do tomorrow. First of all, I want you to understand that age is not an excuse. Now, how do you like that name? And when she had Moses, she was 135 years old. Yeah. What? So that tells you when God is in your life, there is nothing that is impossible for God. Amen. Now, it doesn't say anything about Moses' daddy right now. Second, you have to be a woman of faith. Okay? Jochebed was not afraid of the king's commands that... not the word of man. It is difficult in today's standards because the world is coming against Christianity. But by faith, moms and dads, you have to stand. And it will be the hardest thing that you do. But why is it important? Because your children are watching everything that you are doing. And if they see you buckle down to the world, then you have to be willing to take a stand. See, Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months. Dumbest thing in the world to do, because if someone had heard that child cry, he'd have been destroyed in the night. But mama lived by faith. And Mama said, Daddy, and Mom and Dad said, the Lord gave us this child. And we will live by faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. What was important in the midst of this is that Mom took a stand. She could have been caught. And not only would she have lost her child, she could have possibly lost her life. School said to be the one that takes the stand. You need to be the one that goes to the school to go, my child is a Christian, and my child will write about Jesus Christ anytime my child wants to talk about Christ. We have got to begin to take a stand, because if you don't take a stand, church, there'll be nothing to stand upon. The other is that she was willing to do, which makes no sense. Sometimes God asks us to do things and you're like, really? Lord. But she was a praying woman. And sometimes God doesn't have to go, I want. Sometimes just deep down, you know these are the things that you need to do. So the child is 3 months. She knows it's time. She's trusting God. What woman in here today would build a basket, put your kid in the basket, and put him out in the water at Galveston? Nobody. But Jochebed did. She put of slime and pitch. The other said it was tar and pitch. Bottom line, she puts this, she weaves the basket, puts the child in the basket, and pushes it out. Now again, there's I didn't want pushed it away. Made no sense at all unless you had faith in God. And then she put her trust in the most important thing that any mother in this room could put their trust in, and that is God. Amen. Amen. Because if God's for you, no one ever, ever could be against you. See, she placed Moses in the little ark in the Nile. Now think about this, and I don't know if you've been where, you know, they got the little bamboo poles in the water and stuff, but it floats. You know, half the time you can't even pull a fishing hook through without getting it hooked. But that little ark made its all the way right to the mother. And I got to tell you, there has to be something divine about that trip for little Moses. Church, nothing happens by chance. Pharaoh's daughter was an instrument used by God to take a young baby that was born and is now that he could ever have received, and he received the greatest position that anybody could have ever received for one reason, because he was chosen by God. And if you are a born-again believer, you too have been chosen by God. And if you settle for anything less than God's best, you're settling for not enough. We know. Gotta ask you, do you know? We know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you know that when you were born, you are no different than Moses? God has a task for you. And Mama, you are the one that has to see child has been called by God. You have to see that you have been blessed with something that God has given you, but God won't. Here is the other. God will provide. Now, do you think when Jochebed had Moses, that she was sitting down and thinking, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Had to come in her mind, she's a human being. But at the same time, this is a woman of faith and trust. This is a woman that was praying and she heard from God. This is a woman that said, you know, God's going to provide. And not only was she allowed, because this child was going to be brought up in higher education in a royal family, but in a heathen household. Do you think God, that just took him by surprise? No. But what it is that he was brought up in a heathen environment in how he needed a counteracting influence, and what influence could equal that of a praying mom. You know, the world is going to try, let me go say it this way. If you don't teach your children who in regards to a specific influence, then your child needs a counter influence, and the counter influence is a praying mama. A mama that gets down on her native part. Now they have something to come back to, and there's tons of kids out here today that have nothing to come back to. And it's all about mama. Moses was born in a Hebrew family. He was raised in an Egyptian royal household. He's the son of a princess. He had the best education. And he found out when he was 40 years of age who he actually was. And he fled. He saw one of his countrymen being beaten, and he got in a fight with him and he killed him. And he ran into the desert for 40 years. And sometimes, church, just like Moses, he had an encounter with God. And sometimes God will put you in the wilderness. God will put you in the desert. God will put you in the chains and bound you up so that you could have an encounter with God. Comes to Egypt. Now, I don't know if you've read a lot about Moses, but Moses was a stutterer. Now, Moses was going,
would you let my people go?
He couldn't talk. So he sent Aaron. And sometimes we need people in our life that can help us accomplish what we can't. And God sends people to us. You always see that Charleston S. And I got to tell you, Mama, sometimes you're going to get scared too. But that's why it's important to have accountability partners. That's why it's important to have friends that you could go to go, I don't know what to do, and I've been praying, and I just don't have an answer. The other thing is that he led the people out of Egypt. And he led the people out of Egypt by the power of God. He split the Red Sea. He received the Ten Commandments. And he led the people in the wilderness for 40 years, and he led them right up to the promised land. And I can't imagine where you and I would be today if Moses had not come into the picture. Can't imagine where you and I would be if Jochebed was not a woman who stood. He is the answer to her prayers. And the result of her watchfulness and a true correction of her own faults. And who knows how many leaders of God's people may be right now at the present time in training because there's some pious mama who is down on her knees seeing that child as something special and going, God, he belongs. A mother who loves the Savior and who has more of a severe anguish when she knows that it's not the life of her child that is at stake, but their soul. Can rest assured in the assurance that Jochebed's God is still alive. And if he still lives, Jochebed's God still lives, then greater is that God who lives in you than he in your family. Well, if you're with your family, we're going to do this morning. I want all the mamas to stand up.